Jeremiah chapter 8. I wanted also to mention to you that every quarter or so we get the latest edition of the Calvary Chapel Missions Magazine. If you're into missions and you want to find out what's going on in the world, in the mission outreach arm of Calvary Chapel, then you have lots of information here. You can get your free copy next door in our book table area. Also, this Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., there's going to be a painting exercise take place right over there. And so if you have any time on your hands this Wednesday at 8 a.m. and you just want to slap some paint up, you're going to have that opportunity so we can get those classrooms totally ready, have the carpet put in, and we're going to have a wonderful facility for our kids over there on Sunday mornings, cooled and heated. And we're also going to move our nursery area to that house over there where it'll be a much more pleasant environment for the nursery workers, the children, and the toddlers. And the Lord has blessed us abundantly with this, and I want to give Him praise and glory for that. So if you have time this week on Wednesday. Also, Lisa wanted me to mention to you that on this next quarter, we're looking for two more very experienced teachers. Adult teachers who can step up and take a Sunday morning class with the children for the next quarter, September, October, November, correct? So we're still in need of that. The fruit is ripe in the children's ministry. And if you would like to be used in that capacity, then you see Lisa right after the service. Grab an application, get signed up, and we'll get you involved in ministry. Effective ministry with the kids. So Nehemiah chapter 8, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to your truth this morning. And I pray that this morning would be just a tremendous encouragement to us. To dedicate our lives, Lord, to a study of your word. To be filled with all the goodness that we see in your word. What a joy it is, Lord, to have your word. Bless our time, Lord. Capture our thoughts. Speak by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up as a kid, I was a very big, big fan of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones was the bomb, as the kids say it nowadays. I loved those movies. My brother and I would pretend we were Indiana Jones in our backyard. We'd put on hats and carry those little whips. And just all that Indiana Jones would go through to find treasure. And to keep treasure. This morning, I want to encourage you and exhort you, my brother and sister in Christ, to find treasure. What if somebody informed you that a great treasure could be found somewhere on the premises of your property? And it was credible information. Perhaps a wealthy family lived there before you did. And you get word that somewhere in your house or around your house, there is a great treasure to be found. What would you do? You'd dig up the backyard. You'd start looking through your house, every crevice of your house. You might even break down walls. Your neighbors would come around and say, "What are you doing?" And you'd say, "Searching for treasure. This is my big break. I'm going to find it." Well, I want you to know this morning that most of us already have buried treasure in our houses. The greatest treasure that anyone could hope to find. If you have a Bible in your house, you have access to the greatest treasures that anybody could ever hope to find. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "The law of your mouth, that is the written word of God, that is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." David said in Psalm 19 concerning the words of God, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." I want to encourage you this morning to search for treasure in your Bible. I want to encourage you to go on treasure hunts regularly in your Bible. There's great treasure to be found, and you won't be disappointed. This is what the people of God do in our text this morning. Check out Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law." Searching the scripture for treasure begins with an action. Obviously, you must expose yourself to the written word of God. There has to be a gathering to the Word of God. There has to be an exposure to the written Word of God. Here in verse 13, the leaders of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, they've gathered to the written Word of God. They've asked Ezra to come. Remember, we met Ezra last week. He's the expert in the Word of God, the scribe, the priest. He's the dynamic, expository teacher of the Word of God. And these leaders have gathered to them, and he's opened the scroll. They're exposing themselves to the written Word of God. This is what we must do as God's people in the year 2005. Expose ourselves to the written Word of God. And certainly we should do that in a public worship service, just like we're doing right now. This should be done at church, where we gather together and we read the Bible together and we receive teaching from the Word of God together. But we live in a day and an age where we are so blessed, because this is not the only way that we have to expose ourselves to the written Word of God, is it? In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah chapter 8, there were not many copies of the written Word of God. In fact, Ezra probably had one of the few scrolls of Scripture. And so if they wanted to expose themselves to the Word of God, they had to go to Ezra. He had to pull the scroll out. They opened it and read it, and that's how they did it back then. But you and I today, how blessed we are. We have many, many copies of the written Word of God in virtually every language. Most of you sitting in this tent this morning have multiple copies of the written Word of God in your care. We have different translations. We have Bibles that are geared towards all sorts of different age groups. Men, women, teenagers, children. We have study Bibles. We have audio Bibles. You can put a CD in your car stereo and listen to the Bible on your way to work. We can hear the Word of God through a radio program or over the television. My friend, there is no excuse whatsoever for us in this day and age not exposing ourselves to the written Word of God. We should be saturating ourselves with the written Word of God. What a blessing. And so I recommend to Christians always, read the Bible through in a year. Get in a daily Bible reading program. Take time to do in-depth research of the Scripture on your own. Get together with your brothers and sisters in Christ in a small group, in a kinship, in a Bible study. Expose yourself to the written Word of God. And all of that, in addition to gathering together regularly as the body of Christ, exposing yourselves to the written Word of God, that is a necessity. That's where the hunt begins. Timothy Dwight said, "The Bible is a window in this prison world through which we may look into eternity." Every single time you open the book, it's like opening a window into eternity and breathing the fresh air of heaven. Open the window regularly, amen? Expose yourself. And then it also requires coming to the Bible with the right attitude. Look how these people are coming to the Bible in verse 13. It says, again, on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. That's an attitude. They have gathered to work at it. They have gathered to focus in on it. They've gathered to understand the Bible. And so too, that should be our attitude. We should gather ourselves to the Scripture to understand it, to be diligent in it. There has to be a gathering of our thoughts toward it. A focus, a hunger, a desire, a willingness to work at it so that you will understand it. You shouldn't just read the Bible for a quick read. You know? Mark that off your list. Grab the paper. Start letting your mind drift in other areas. Listen, when you get to the Word of God and you open it, dedicate your attention to it. Remember, you're searching for treasure. You're wanting to dig up golden nuggets of wisdom. Give it your energy. Have that hunger for it. Do the work. Paul told his young protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That phrase, rightly dividing, means to cut and to separate rightly. To cut straight in the word of God. It's a phrase that means to become skillful in your treatment of the Word of God. It makes me think of miners who would be out digging for gold. They'd cut through rock. They'd dig tunnels that separate earth so that they can find those golden nuggets. And that's what we should do as Christians when we study. Cutting straight in the Word of God. Tunneling in the Bible. Separating. Breaking things apart so you can look at it, uncovering these wonderful, beautiful truths. Are you willing to do that? Is that a desire for you? Is that a hunger in your heart? Martin Luther said, "I study my Bible as I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree that the ripest might fall, then I shake each limb. And when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, looking at the whole tree, shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every limb. I look at every book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters. Then I shake every twig. I look at the verses and the passages. And then I look under every leaf. I'll even look at the words that are used in the verses of the Bible." That's labor. That's dedication. And you know what's going to happen when you expose yourself to the written word of God and you gather your thoughts to understand the written word of God? I want you to see what happens to these people. They've gathered to the word of God. They want to understand the word of God. And look what it says in verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written. Now, more about what they found in a minute, but I just want you to see the first three words of verse 14. And they found. And they found. They gathered themselves to Scripture. They come with the right attitude. They're going to study and they're going to dig. And they found. They found treasure. They found information that was immediately applicable to their lives as individuals and as a nation. My brother and sister in Christ, I make you this guarantee, this promise to you this morning. If you will gather yourselves to the written word of God regularly, and if you will come with the right attitude, wanting to dig, wanting to understand, I promise you that you will find treasure. I promise you that you will find information that will be immediately applicable to your life. It's wonderful. It's awesome. God will speak to you, I promise. God guarantees that in His Word. There's a wonderful passage on the Bible in Isaiah chapter 55 where it speaks of the potency of Scripture and the effectiveness of Scripture and the promise that God's Word will not return void. I'll read it for you. In Isaiah 55, the Lord says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, the Lord says, that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God wants to speak to us. God wants to do a work in our hearts and in our lives. And His Word can accomplish wonderful things in our hearts. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? God will speak to you, I promise. You will find treasure. I have found that to be a principle that is consistently true in my life, 25 years plus of daily, consistent, personal Bible study. I find treasures in God's Word almost every single day. And so can you. And here's the wonderful thing. You'll find timely information in the Bible as you gather to it and seek to understand it. You'll get information that is absolutely perfect for the day that you're about to face. You will get timely information. I want you to see the timing elements in chapter 8. Check this out. Watch with me. Look up at verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. Watch this. On the first day of the seventh month. That's when this all started. Now look at verse 13. On the second day of what month? On the second day of the seventh month, the heads of the fathers' houses, all the people, priests and Levites, they gathered to Ezra. Verse 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. No doubt they were reading in Leviticus chapter 23, which tells of an important feast that they were to keep, the Feast of the Tabernacles. They were to keep that festival every single year on the seventh month. It was a week-long celebration. It started on the 15th day of the seventh month and completed on the 22nd day. How convenient! God's given them 2 weeks to prepare for the feast. And this is beautiful. It's timely information. You understand that the nation of Israel has basically been reborn at this point. They've just gotten back into their city of Jerusalem. It's the capital. The walls have been rebuilt. They're establishing once again their identity as a nation. And here they find out, ooh, there's a feast. There's a festival that we're supposed to keep. Have you ever been reading the Bible and have the Lord show you something that you needed for that day or that week? It's wonderful. Hundreds of times in my life as a Christian, I have had that experience. We're just in the course of my normal everyday Bible reading. I find something that I will use that afternoon or that week. Or there's been many times in my life where there's this issue, you see, that I'm dealing with. There's a struggle in my life. There's a concern. There's a decision that I need to make. And in the course of my daily Bible reading, God will speak to me. He'll give me the answer. He'll give me comfort if I need it. And yes, He'll give me courage to do the right thing. That is the greatest treasure. And let me tell you why. Because when that happens to you, you know that the God of heaven and earth knows you and all about you and what you're experiencing in your life. And He has a word for you. He'll talk to you. What a joy. What a blessing. You'll find treasure. You'll find timely information. There was a miracle that took place in the Old Testament that I think speaks of what we need to do with our Bibles as Christians in the New Testament. You remember when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt? And they were supposed to go to their promised land, but they got in trouble. And so they ended up wandering around in the wilderness in the desert for 40 years. And they lived in tents. And it was hot. They all had fans and they were probably, you know, fanning themselves. And during those 40 years, God miraculously took care of His people. How did they eat? God sent manna every morning. And it's interesting, if you look at the Old Testament account, they were required to get up every morning early and gather the manna while it was fresh. They were not allowed to wait too long. Otherwise, the manna would melt. They were only to gather enough for that day. This is why I strongly recommend to Christians that they read their Bibles daily in the morning hours. Grab the manna while it's fresh. Before the day melts away, expose yourself to His Word. Come with the desire. And the Lord will speak and there's nothing like it. It is a dynamic in your life that keeps the excitement of being a Christian flowing. It's communication with heaven. It's wonderful. Well, they find out in this passage that they've been looking at about the Feast of Tabernacles, an interesting little feast that they're supposed to keep. It was one of those festivals that they were commanded to keep every year in the seventh month. It was a week-long celebration. And they were to use that feast as an opportunity to thank God for how He took care of them as a nation in the past. God did take care of the nation of Israel when they were wandering around in the wilderness, living in tents. And God wanted His people to remember that experience. So He had them keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody was required to build for themselves a little tent. A little booth, a little structure. Everyone in Jerusalem and everyone from around Jerusalem, they were to come and have a week-long, sort of a tailgating experience. A camp out. Everybody hanging out in these booths and these tents for a solid week, remembering what it was like for them in the wilderness and how the Lord had taken care of them. That's a wonderful symbolic truth there, isn't it? God wanted His people to have a pilgrim mentality, a tent mentality, to remember that we're just aliens passing through here on this planet. You know that is a New Testament concept, right? The New Testament teaches Christians to have a pilgrim mentality. To realize that this life is very temporary. In Philippians chapter 3 it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Where is your citizenship ultimately, Christian? Heaven. This is not our home. And the Bible goes on to teach that your body right now is a tent, really. It's a temporary body. Tents are supposed to be for temporary things, right? Now, I know we haven't really done that as a church yet lately, but they're supposed to be temporary. When you go out and camp and you bring a tent, do you expect to stay there for a couple of years? No. It's an outing. My brother and sister in Christ, this life is just like a week of tent dwelling, really, compared to all of eternity. Don't you ever forget that, and don't put your roots down too deep here. Live for eternity. Live for heaven. Mansions there, not tents. Amen? Beautiful. So, they find out this information about the feast. They've exposed themselves, they've come with the right attitude, and they have in fact found treasure. Now, what are they going to do with the information? Do they just file it away for further study? No, watch. They will obey it. They will keep the festival with great enthusiasm. Look what it says in verse 16. "Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in the courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so." And there was very great gladness. What did they do? They obeyed the word of God. They went for it. The leaders, after they read what they had read, went out and told all the people, and news got out. Everybody in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem went to the mountains to get branches, leaves. And they made their booths, and booths sprung up all over Jerusalem. They're appearing on housetops, in courtyards, in the courts of the house of the Lord. in the open square. No doubt everybody who lived in Jerusalem built a little tent and they probably put it up on their rooftop because they were flat in those days. The priests and the Levites, they built their little tabernacles and they went in the courtyard of the house of the Lord, the temple area. People who lived outside Jerusalem, they came with their huts, their shelters, their booths, and they set it up in the open squares near the water gate or the gate of Ephraim. Everybody participated. There were booths everywhere. And it sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? All of the people together there, camping out, rejoicing together in the presence of the Lord. It says there in verse 17, "For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so." That does not mean that they had never celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles since the days of Joshua as a nation. What it means is the celebration had never been so fully participated in or enthusiastically obeyed since the days of Joshua. This was an amazing, fantastic display of obedience. You gather for treasure. You search for it. You find it. And you wholeheartedly participate in it with great enthusiasm. And my friends, you will see amazing things take place in and through your life. You do know that the Bible is a book that is to be obeyed, right? This is a wonderful book to read and to study, but you don't do it just so you can win Bible trivia pursuit games. You don't do it just to get Bible knowledge. You do it, you read it, you study it to do it. To participate in it, to obey it. James says in chapter 1, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may get a lot of Bible knowledge." Is that what it says? "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." It's to be done. It's to be obeyed. My brother and sister in Christ, we are to adjust our lives to the standards that we study and read in the Holy Scripture. And so you open your Bible and you find out that salvation only comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you do? Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Or you read in the Bible how it says that we're to love our enemies, pray for our enemies, and do good to those who spitefully use us. And you say, "Lord, I don't know about that one." No, you obey it. That's God talking. Or you find that you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Submit to your husband as the Lord requires, and you scan, you say, "Well, that's a hard one." But you will obey. Or you read in the Scripture how we're to take care of the poor and the needy. What should we do? Ignore the poor and the needy? Take care of them. And let me stress this. Don't delay. Obey. Right now, when you get the treasure from the Word of God, you don't delay, you obey it. You do it right away. You don't put it on hold. You go for it. These people immediately began making preparations to keep the feast. I heard about a dad who was having trouble getting his son to clean his room. Parents, ever had any problems with that? The son would always agree to tidy up, but he wouldn't follow through. After high school, the young man joined the Marine Corps. When he came home for leave after basic training, his dad asked him what he had learned in the service. Dad, he said, I learned what now means. Let me invite you to learn what now means when it comes to obeying Scripture. Amen? Don't delay. This is the cycle. This is digging for gold. This is finding treasure, the greatest treasures that you could ever hope to find. Open the book. Open the window. Come with the right attitude. You're going to understand it. You will find treasure, and then you need to obey it. Put it into practice. There's wonderful byproducts to doing this. Look at that last sentence of verse 17. It says there was very great gladness. Let me tell you, my brother and sister in Christ, you will experience very great gladness in your life as you find treasure in Scripture and obey it. There is great joy in getting to know the Lord better through this book. Amen? There is great joy in knowing that you are pleasing the Lord by obeying the commands that you find in this book. And as I said, there's great joy in knowing that you can have an exchange with God. That He will speak to you through His Word, and that He knows what you're going to face tomorrow, and He'll give you nuggets of truth today in preparation. It just adds that whole dynamic, adventurous, exciting element to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's joy, and there's great gladness. You know what else it'll do? It'll cause you to want more. You'll want more. Look what it says in verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. They couldn't get enough. They gathered to hear the word of the Lord that first day. It was so wonderful. They gathered on the second day. They got information about the feast, and they're gathering every morning now to hear from the word of the Lord, to find treasure. It's contagious. It's wonderful. I want to invite you, my brother and sister in Christ, to daily allow this process to take place in your life, day by day, from the first day to the last day. Consistently. You say, but Pastor Terry, if I do that for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, won't it get boring? No. It'll never get boring. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there's been dry periods in my life where the Scripture seems dry. But I have found that in the dry times, all that means is that I need to dig a little deeper. I need to work a little harder. And I need to pray a little more, because the Holy Spirit will add water and soften that clay. Pastor Terry, if I study the Bible for 15, 20, 25 years, am I going to get to a point where I don't need to study it anymore? I'll just know it all? You don't have to worry about that one. It's a rich study. The Bible is a deep book. It's simple enough for a child to understand, but complex enough for theologians to spend their entire lives on. And the Lord will continue to speak to you day by day. One of my favorite Christians in church history is Charles Spurgeon. I quote him often. Just a brilliant man, a great preacher of the Word. Started preaching at the age of 19, preached all of his life. Tremendous grasp of the Word of God. He produced 135 books, edited 28 more, and if one counts his shorter things, he topped the 200 mark. But in spite of all of that vast output and knowledge of the Word of God, at the end of his life, Spurgeon said, "The quarry of the Holy Scripture is inexhaustible. I seem hardly to have begun to labor in it." Oh yeah, this book can handle you for a year, for a lifetime. This book is deep enough for you to spend your whole life studying. Go for it. There be treasure in these pages, me hearties. Open the book. Search for treasure. Repeat this cycle over and over again. You know, the title of our series in the book of Nehemiah is The Visionary Life. Let me tell you, if you want to live a visionary life for the Lord Jesus Christ, search for treasure. Find the treasure. Obey the treasure. As we close, I do want to remind you that it can sometimes be a painful experience to expose yourself to this book. You just need to know that up front. The Bible is, in fact, like a window that opens up eternity to you, but it can also be like a mirror that sees everything in your life. And it will point out all the ugliness in your life and the things that are wrong with you. And it can be very painful. But hey, it's a good type of pain, because what's going on there is God is trying to drive you to Himself. He's trying to drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll look in the Bible and it'll say you're a sinner, born in sin, worthy of death and separation from God. And you'll find that and you'll see, yes, I am a sinner. What do I need to do? And then you'll find in the pages of Scripture that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you can have everlasting life if you will put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This book tells you how sinners can be forgiven and how sinners can get cleaned up and have the assurance of being in heaven one day. So go for it, whether it be a mirror or a window, and obey and fall in love with this book, which will cause you to fall in love more with Jesus, with the Lord. Lord, You have given us a treasure. This book is a treasure. We're so grateful for it, and especially in this day and age that we all have multiple copies, that we have it in easy access. And Lord, I just pray that You would use this morning to light a fire once again in Your people who maybe have become a little flippant over Your Word. Perhaps there's many here this morning, Lord, who have forgotten how blessed we are to have a copy of Your Word. Increase that hunger once again. And I ask, Lord, that we would find treasure every day to help us in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.